Thank you, Sherry and John. Now you can go with me to Colossians, book of Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, verse 26 and 27 say, Paul said in verse 25, I'm a minister of the gospel, minister of the church, and he calls it in verse 26 a mystery, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest or clear, revealed to his saints. Not everyone, but to his saints, to whom the saints, God, would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, even not just Jews, but Gentiles, which is the mystery, the glory is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He calls the gospel salvation a mystery. Mystery. Says it's hid. Been hid from the beginning, but now revealed to the saints. Not everyone. You remember Christ one time said, I thank thee, Father, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent. Not many wise men at the flesh. Not many mighty are called. Not many noble are called. God hath chosen. It's God's choice. God's prerogative. God hath chosen to reveal these things to whom he will. To whom he will. It's a mystery to most, to whom God would make it known. Paul, telling his own story in the Galatians, said, he said, and this is when a man will be saved. When will a man be saved? When he decides? Oh no. Oh no. Paul said, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son, how? In me. In me. Not just to me, but in me. In the heart. It pleased God. So, and it says here, to whom? The saints. God would make this known. I've said this recently, and you know, it's a popular religious slogan that we're trying to know him and make him known. Well, the first part is good. Paul said that I might know him in Philippians, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection. But to make him known, we can't do that. He alone can make himself known. Make himself known, reveal himself to us. And how does he do it? Please God by the foolishness of preaching. What's happening right now? And if he's pleased, he doesn't have to, but he does. I can declare it. Men can declare it, define it, explain it. And someone may even hear it and believe it, at least in their head, understand something of the facts of it. But Paul, the scriptures calls it a mystery. Like life, conception. It must be born from above, of God. Conception. When does that take place? We don't know. We don't know, neither. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit of God. And all I can do is declare it. I want you to turn with me quickly to 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians 13. This is vital. The purpose of this message is, as we said, hopefully, that Christ may be formed in someone by faith, and that by his word, by his spirit, and in whom Christ dwells, they may be built up and comforted. And you might know, that you might know, like John wrote, that you might know that you want to hear. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5 says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Does it say examine yourselves whether you're doing this, doing that, whether you live right? No, it's not. It says whether you be in the faith. The faith is a person. Faith's not a creed, not a doctrine, not a denomination. It's a person. Faith, repentance toward God, and faith, where? Toward the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an object. Faith is looking to a person. Faith is being found in a person. And I better go on. It says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you. Except you be reprobate. Except you don't care. Except God's left you. All right, now, Christ in you. What does it mean? Christ in you. Three things. Three things. First, it's the truth in you. Truth as it is in the Lord Jesus Christ in you. Truth in you. Christ, did not Christ say, I am the truth? Truth in it. Secondly, and these are three things really, faith, hope, and love in you. Faith in Christ. Hope in Christ. Love for Christ in you. The love of Christ in you. This kind is somewhat like 1 John 5. He that hath the Son hath life. If Christ be in you, this faith, hope, and love for Christ is in you. And thirdly, this new creature, a new man, created in the image of Christ in you. All right. I had you read John 17. We read John 17 because the Lord Himself tells us in that prayer what it means for us to be in Him. He says it over and over again. These things. Go back there. John 17. And we'll stay right there the rest of this message. John 17. The Lord Himself declared these things. The truth in us. Faith, hope, and love in us. The new man in us. The Lord Himself. And the Lord prayed for those then and those now in Him. Those in Him and He in them. You see that? All right, the truth said what it means for Christ to be in us is for the truth to be in us. Verse 17. The Lord says, sanctify them, set them apart, that is, through thy truth. What's truth? Thy word is truth. What's the word? The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. Christ is the truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Verse 19. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Through your word. Through me. And there's a scripture that talks about the truth as it is in Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I'm the truth. We heard it this morning on the radio. And I heard it, I immediately ran and wrote it down. It's not like I had never heard it before, but it just confirmed it again. He talked about the truth. He said, we need to know the righteousness of God. Absolute holiness of God. Very little talk about that today. In fact, men are going about to establish their own. Don't know that God is holy, holy, holy. Don't know that, and don't care that they can't please God with our righteousness, filthy rags. Not good enough. Not good enough on God's side. Righteousness of God, holiness of God, and that which He required. Secondly, He said, the truth of the nature of sin. That is what we are by nature, what we're born in. Dead in trespass and sin. How God sees us as we really are. God, the righteous Lord, loveth righteousness and hateth iniquity. Very little talk today about the holiness of God, the wrath of God. hatred of God for sin. How that God's going to destroy a world. Why? Because of sin. People. People. Paul said in our text, he said, preaching and warning every man. We preach Christ and warn every man. Flee from what? The wrath to come. Where do you flee? Well, the righteousness of God, the nature of sin that is us, and our need for salvation. You remember saying that? Our need for salvation. Our need for somebody to save us. You can't do it. We can't do it ourselves. Christ came to save His people. That's the gospel in a word, isn't it? That's the truth in a word. Truth. Who Christ is. What He came to do. What He did. Where He is now. And He's coming back. Who's He coming for? Those that He did this work for. It's all in Christ. It's all in Christ. And all of God's people know this. They know this. Go back. Go to our text here. Verse 1 through 4. These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. What hour? The hour predestined by God before the world began. Christ is called the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Well, He had to come in time, in the fullness of time, according to God's purpose, which He purposed in Christ before the world began, to send His Son into this world at the exact moment in time to do this work. The hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. The hour of redemption, the work of Christ, that He may glorify the Father. He said, glorify Me, that I may glorify Thee. As, now here's the glory of God, here's the glory of His Son. And this is the truth. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh. The truth is, Jesus Christ is Lord. I don't mean figuratively. I don't mean in name only. I mean, well, not I, but Scriptures, that God hath given all things into His hand. Life, keys of hell and death, everything is in His hand. To give to whomsoever He will, not whoever will let Him. Look at it. Read on. Verse 2. That He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. All right. He talks about things that God hath given to Christ. Given Him all power, all authority over all flesh. No one can do anything except what Jesus Christ allows or directs. Given power over all flesh, He's been given people, eternal life to give. It's His to give. It's not ours to take. It's His to give. To give eternal life, who's He give it to? Verse 2, as many as God has given Him. That's the elect. Did not Christ say in John 6, all that the Father giveth Me shall come to Me. He said, no man can come unto Me except the Father which has sent Me draw him. But everyone whom the Father hath given to Christ will come to Christ. Count on it. Count on it. That's His power. That's His glory. That's the glory of the Holy Spirit. Eternal life is His to give to as many as God has given Him. And this is life eternal. Verse 3. That they might know Thee, the only true God, the true God, the living God. Not a God who tries and fails, not a God who wants to and can't, not a God who only does what man lets Him do. That's no God at all. Who needs a God like that? A bystander in the affairs of men? That's no God at all. Who needs a God like that? A God who's Satan's equal with. He's equally bad and the Lord's equally good and they clash and we are the deciding factor. That's not the truth. That's a lie. That's not God. And that won't save anybody. The truth. The truth is who God is. The truth is who Christ is. The truth is what Christ did for His people. Read on. It says, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent.
Sent. Sent. He sent. The Father sent him. We didn't ask for him. The Father sent him. Well, if you send someone, what are you doing? You've got a purpose for them, don't you? The Father had a purpose for his Son. And he sent him to do a work. Did he do it? Verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. This is the truth. This is in every one of God's people. I never tire of hearing it. I never tire of telling it. The truth as it is in Jesus Christ is that God Almighty gave him a work to do, the work of saving God's people, God's elect, and Christ came to this earth. Did he do it? What did he say here? I have finished the work you gave me to do. Did he come to make an attempt or an atonement? Huh? Did he come to make salvation possible or save his people? When he named him, he said, call his name Jesus, he shall save. Not try to save, not if they'll let him save, he shall save. Not him and them. He shall save. When he had by himself, Hebrews 1:5, purged our sin, sat down, the work finished. The only high priest ever to sit down was the Lord Jesus Christ. There was not a chair in that Old Testament tabernacle. Not a chair, because their work was never finished. When Jesus Christ came to this earth to do this work of redemption, to save his people, it says he went back to heaven and sat down. What does that mean?
It's done.
If you're a sinner, a helpless sinner, this is the best news you've ever heard. This is the gospel. You mean I don't have to do something to be saved? No, sir. But he had to do it all. Well, what do I have to do? Look to him. Trust him. Look unto me and be you saved. That's what he said. Oh, that's the good news. And this truth is in all of God's people. They shall all, John 6:45, they shall all be taught of God. And every man that hath heard and learned of the Father cometh unto me. And it says, great shall be the peace of thy children. If you're really a sinner and you hear this message of sovereign mercy, sovereign electing grace, and a sovereign cry, and a full, final, free atonement, finished work in Christ, by Christ, not you, but by Christ, it will give you joy and peace, and it rests. Rest. And you'll quit looking. You'll quit looking for anything. I've found peace. I found rest. Where? In Him. In Him. My, my. Christ came. He said, you know, the first work that, well, when Christ came to this earth, the first recorded words by Him were when He was 12 years old. You remember what He said? When He was 12 years old, He said to His presumed father and mother, He said, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And they didn't know then, and men don't know now what He meant by that. The Father's business was, like He said, all that the Father giveth me. All the Father gave a people to Christ to come to this earth and say, and the first words as a 12-year-old boy, I'm about my Father's business. And every step He took, every place He went, was on the trail of His sheep. And He found them where He put them. And He saved every one of them. He had one up a tree, Zacchaeus. He had one sitting at a well waiting on Him. He had one in the tombs. He had them everywhere. They were His, and He went looking for them. He's the good shepherd. And He said, He will not quit until He finds it. And when He finds it, He doesn't help them along the way. He doesn't help them out here. Go on. He puts them on His shoulder and takes them all the way to glory. That's the shepherd. That's what He came to do. And when He was hanging on the cross, His last words, His first words were, I'm about the Father's business. I'm here on a mission sent by God to do a work. And His last words hanging on Calvary's tree were, it is finished. What? Everything. The salvation of God's people. The bringing in of an everlasting righteousness. The bringing in of a kingdom. And He went and sat down expecting. Fully expecting. His enemies to be made His footstool. His people to be brought by the Holy Spirit. And you better believe it. They're all coming. Behold, I and the children which Thou hast given me. That's the truth. Truth's the person. Person, the work, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of God's people have this truth in them. That's just my first point. But it's wonderful, isn't it? Faith, hope, and love. See, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God, is Jesus Christ. He is the truth from cover to cover. If He shows you the truth, if God reveals to you the truth, Christ in you, you'll see Him on every line of every page. That He is all and in all. And then, Christ be in you, this faith, hope, and love for Christ is in you. Faith in Christ. Look at verse 6. He says, I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest me out of the world. Who did this? He did it. They didn't know Him. They weren't looking for Him. They didn't even care for Him. Did it? They were in boats. They were taking up money like Matthias, weren't they? They weren't looking for Him. Bless God, thank the Lord, He went looking for them, huh? Oh, Philip did say, I found Him. Philip, He found you. That's why you say that. But anyway, the Lord went looking for them, and He called them, didn't He? He revealed Himself to them. He saved them. Salvation's of the Lord. And He said this to them one time. He said, whom do men say that I am? I said, some say this, some say that. Whom do you say that I am? Peter spoke up on behalf of all of them. He said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And what did Christ say? Have not I chosen you? You know why you believe that, Peter? Because I chose you. Because I revealed myself to you. I have manifested myself to you. You weren't even looking. You were dead. I gave you life like Lazarus to see me. That's what He said. I've manifested Thy name, the name of God, the glory of God, which Thou gavest me unto the men Thou gavest me. See that? Thine they were. When were they? They were His before the foundation of the world. Their names were written in a book. What book? The Lamb's book. And it was sealed. It's not like that phony swagger fella says that God erases, you know, somebody didn't make it, so He erases that name or puts a new name in. The new name written in heaven. That's a lie. It's a lie. It doesn't say that in God's Word. It said their names were written before the foundation of the world, and that book was sealed. And in the end, Christ, the Lamb, in Revelation 5, is going to take that book and open the seals and read all the names, and they're all going to be there to the praise of the glory of His grace and His power. That's what this is all about. His glory, His power, His work, His people. He's going to save them all. And that's the truth. So help me, God. Verse 6. Thine they were, Thou gavest them me, and they have kept Thy word. Laid hold of. That word keep means latch hold of. As something you don't want to let go. Lay hold of. Hold fast the beginning of your confidence. Steadfast then. When you hear it, when you really hear it, when you first find out, holy God, and you're a sinner and can't do anything to please this God, no works of righteousness, that you're in your flesh dwelleth no good thing, oh, wretched man that I am. And then when you hear that somebody's done it all for you, you hear the good news is, you just look to me. And I'll take you all the way. You'll lay hold of it. And you'll not let go. You'll lay hold. You'll seize it. Latch hold of. That's what it means. They have kept my word. Laid hold of it as something not wanting to lose. They've kept it. They've kept it. You know that doesn't mean that they have fulfilled and done every word that God said. Christ alone did that. They've laid hold of it. They keep it. What part of God's Word do you do you not receive? What part of God's Word do you not like? What part of God's Word would you have taken out of this book? Any other part? Oh, no. God's people love all His Word. All of it. All of it. They've kept Thy Word. Read on. Verse 7. Now they have known... They have known all things whatsoever Thou hast given me are of Thee. And I have given unto them the words which Thou gavest me. And they have received them and have known surely that I came out from Thee. And they have believed that Thou didst send me. They believe God. They believe God's Word. They believe God's Son. Faith. They know whom they have believed. Not what. Yeah, we know what. But our salvation is not a what. It's a whom. It's Him. It's Him. 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 I know whom. Like Paul said, I have believed. I'm persuaded that He's able. Not I'm able. He's able. That's faith. Hope. Their hope is in me, the Lord said. They know everything that God hath given me. Everything I am and have is of them. That all their salvation is in Him. That's their hope. That's their hope. Their hope. The disciples, when the Lord, and you know, he said plainly, he wasn't just praying for his immediate disciples there. Verse 20, pray not for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, one in faith, one in hope, one in love, one in union. But the disciples then and now depended on the Lord for everything. Everything. Their food, their safety, their wisdom, their their protection, their everything. And so do we. No. He's our hope. You see. Our hope. Our hope. Hope in Him. And love. Faith, hope, and love. To have Christ in you is to have the love of God shed abroad in your heart. Look at verse 26. Verse 26. I have declared unto them Thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved me may be in them. The love that God loved His Son be in them. Are you with me? That the love that God, the way God loves His Son, they love Him. John wrote this. John the Baptist said this, preached this. He said, the Father loveth the Son, hath given all things in it. What about you? Huh? The Father loveth the Son. That means you love Him. You love His person. You love His glory. Look at verse 10. He said, all mine are Thine, Thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. They love my glory. You know, God created this whole universe for the glory of His Son. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. God wrote this book. These are Old Testament pictures and types and symbols of God's Son. You have photo albums in your house, don't you? If you're parents, I know what those albums are full of, mostly. If you're a grandparent, I really know what those albums are full of. I had a brother who had his first grandchild, went to visit him, and I was shocked that there was not a blank space on his wall anywhere that didn't have a picture of that granddaughter. Everywhere. Wow, he loves her. He loves her. And buddy, I know if you don't love her, I bet you he didn't love you. That's what Christ said. Those that love me, the Father love. That's what He said. And God, the whole Old Testament is pictures, types of Jesus Christ. It's all for His glory. Salvation's for His glory, His honor. Oh, yeah. Everything's for His glory, His Son's glory and honor. And God's people love His glory. Verse 22. Look at it. The glory which Thou gavest me, I have given them. Verse 24. I will that they whom you've given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. That's why God's people want to go to heaven. Talks about glory here, and you know heaven is called glory, isn't it? When we get to glory. What's glory? It's a person. And we sing a song called, "Oh, What a Foretaste of Glory Divine." Glory is a person. When the Lord took three disciples, He chose them, Peter, James, and John, took them up onto a mountain and peeled back His flesh, this covering of flesh, to show them who He was. Men just thought He was Jesus. They still do. Just Jesus. This is God. Dwelleth in light. No man can approach unto. This is a consuming fire. Oh, no. This is God. He showed those three. And He shows all His people. All His people. See, I see His glory. As of the only begotten of the Father. The only image of God. There's a whole denomination. Well, most of them really don't believe that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. And they go about door to door to try to disprove that. Well, you can go to every door in the world and you can't disprove it. The Lord continually showed Himself, didn't He, to His people, and continues to show Himself to His people to this day of who He is. He removes the veil of flesh, the veil of scales on our eyes to see His glory. God! Thomas said it, didn't he? My Lord and my God. My God. This is our God. He'll save us. So, love His glory. Behold His glory. Glory's person is His glory. We sang that song. That will be glory for me. When I, by His grace, look on His face, that will be glory for me. And this love, I got to hurry. This love, Christ in you, is a love for Christ, love for His kingdom, love for His word, love for the truth, love for His people. We love those that Christ loved. You love Him that begat, you love them that are begotten in Him. So Christ in you is the truth in you. It's faith, hope, and love in you. And it's this new creature created in the image of Christ, formed in you. That's a mystery. And we start out by saying, it's a mystery. We can just declare it, can't we? We can't. We can't explain it. Can't explain it. You know, a child doesn't really even know it's alive until later on, does it? Conception, life begins at conception, doesn't it? The child had nothing to do with that. Even so, it is everyone born of God. And that little child is born, and you know, it has some cognizance or consciousness of thing. It hears a voice, and it knows that voice, and is soothed by and has peace from that voice. And you know, it don't even see very clearly, do it? Your mother, they don't see very clearly. After a while, that begins to clear up, and then it's not until they, I don't know, you mothers tell me, when is it? 2 months? That they look up and, fingers. What's that? Yeah. You see, growing, understanding. And later on, it's like, hey, they start, everything's clear. To the older they get and growing in grace and knowledge. See, that's the new birth. When does it begin? God knows, because He's the one that did it. He's the one that did it. And He does it by this incorruptible seed, the Word of God. Christ is the seed. Christ in you. And He creates this new person, creating the image of Christ. And He's holy, unblameable, and unreproved. He's righteous, He's holy, He's a new creature. There's two persons dwelling in every believer. An old man that's corrupt and never will improve, and you can't do anything for him. He's going to have to be laid in the grave and mortified and die and be put away. That's that wretched man that you... And only God's people know that. That's this wretched man that you have to deal with. He stinks. You hate him. He loathes him in your sight. He bothers you. He hounds you. He just plagues you. And you say, who shall deliver me? And then there's this new man, this inward man who loves holiness, loves righteousness, hates sin, loves Christ, loves His Word, loves the truth, is merciful and gracious and kind, the fruit of the Spirit. It's a mystery. So I don't believe that. Well, then you haven't experienced it. If you've experienced it, you believe it. You know it's so. You know it's so. This new man, created in the image of Christ, new man, affection set on things above, a disdain for things below, see things as they really are, love for God, and persecution. Persecution, not of this world, unknown to the world. Look at verse 16. Verse 14. He said, I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Why? For the truth's sake. For Christ's sake. For His glory's sake. For His word's sake. Why? Because they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Verse 16. They are not of the world. That's a new person, isn't it? Even as I am not of the world. As is the earthy, so are they that are earthy. As is the heavenly, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly. In Christ, in Adam, all died. Dead and trespassed. In Christ, made alive. Alive unto God. And then he says in closing, our text says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Lord spoke of this glory 8 times, and we mentioned it briefly. The glory which He had with the Father before the world began. The glory that He has given us. The glory that they give Him. Like, I am glorified in them. And verse 22. The glory that which Thou gavest me, I have given them. You remember Romans chapter 8 that says this. Whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed to His image. And whom He did predestinate, He, what? Called. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Come. They come. He calls them by our gospel. By this right here. Okay? And whom He called, He justifies. You come to Christ. He brings you to Christ. And He puts you in Christ. And you're completely justified from all things. Covered by His blood. Made righteous by His righteousness. And whom He justified, He what? Glorified. There is a real sense in which we've already been glorified. Already been glorified. I wish it were more so now. But I remember, you know, and you remember in the beginning when you first heard the gospel. And you were just beside yourself. Just beside yourself. You thought every message you heard was glorious. Didn't you? What happens? To me? Maybe. Part of it. I take part of it. I take part of it. Has the message changed, though? I tell you what happens. We go through adolescence. We go through, just like this life, we go through, what is it that obscures His glory? What is it? Oh, yeah. Things of the world. And we do that in the flesh, don't we? We get caught up in things of this world. And, we're bound for glory. Read the little article at the bottom of the bulletin for what it's worth. That the older we get, the less beauty and glory we should see in the things of this world. We ought to see it for what it is. Soap bubble. It's temporal. It's not going to last. No matter what it is. No matter how appealing it is, it's not going to last. Don't set any hope in it. It's the deceitfulness of riches. Scriptures talk so much about the riches of His glory. That's what it said in Colossians 1. The riches of His glory. The unsearchable riches of Christ. More serious, we ought to, and we need to ask Him now, revive Thy work in the midst of the year. Ask Him, Lord, show me Thy glory. Let me see it. Don't let me lose my first love. Don't let me be rich and increased with goods. And when I'm wretched, not knowing I'm wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked, that I have more need for Christ now than when I started. And I'm not there yet. I haven't arrived yet. Help me. Show me Your glory. Lord, send the gospel in such a way that I find it more glorious now than I did when I began. Please. Let me get past the earthen vessel. Let me see Thy treasure. The pearl of great price. Ask, and you shall receive. Glory. Father, I will. That they may behold My glory. Now and then. Okay. John, you come. Number 466. I hope we can sing this. Spirit and truth. Christ liveth in me. Let's sing first and last verses. 466.